Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever met a real psychic? Yes, I'm talking about one who is the real deal. Would you like to learn more about what psychics actually do? Have you ever wanted to know about numerology? Now, that's a big topic with lots of questions for all of us. Can you imagine how numbers play a big part in your life every single day? Tell me. Do you know, do you feel you can't trust anyone who's over 30? Have you ever heard about a fantastic book called Divine Design? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. She's been on my show before, and she's a fantastic guest. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.7 million listeners to date. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. She has researched and applied ancient sciences, including numerology and sacred geometry, to real-world challenges for over 25 years to help organizations and individuals excel in rapidly changing times. As a published authority in the symbolic relationship of numbers to our lives, with solid experience as a commodities broker and a history of offering visionary viewpoints on world events, my guest combines many disciplines to deliver wise perspectives coupled with practical understanding of trends and events, past, present, and future. Utilizing historic data and leveraging proven developmental patterns in diverse areas, this expert helps organizations and individuals understand and work with invisible patterns that continuously affect them. She has been a popular speaker both on the West Coast and Southwest Dowsing Conferences. Her clients include major law firms, Coldwell Banker, the Boston Consulting Group, Women in Real Estate, and multiple nonprofits and business groups. She is the author of Divine Design and the Invisible System. In addition to media appearances on outlets including CNN, ABC, NBC, and Charter Communications, she has produced the DVD special, New World Renaissance. I am so pleased to welcome back to my show again, Gail Minogue. Hi, Gail. How are you doing?
Hello, January. I'm glad to be here. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you back, and you've been on my show before. Everyone loves to hear what you have to say, your take on trends and numerology, and your psychic abilities are fantastic. Why don't we start out by talking about how your success story began, where you were born, grew up, and how you discovered you had psychic abilities?
Well, I never ever thought I had psychic ability. I just thought of new things. You know, you don't think of yourself as that. And I never, probably to this day, people ask me that, and I say I'm not sure. But nevertheless, I was born in New York City, and was raised in an Irish family, and that is went to school back east. Have lived in various parts of the world due to either business changes or choice that I wanted to live in certain ways. I lived in Asia, lived in Hong Kong for years, and lived in Europe. And I now make my home in Los Angeles, and I have been in the business world. And I started studying sacred geometry in the mid-'80s, not anything that I had thought, well, you know, this is my bedside book, but it was something that I was sort of visited upon, I would say, by almost an otherworldly experience that instructed me to study Pythagoras and ancient teachings of Pythagoras. So that is what I began. And Pythagoras, or Pythagoras in Greek pronunciation, was actually the father of what we call sacred geometry. Mm-hmm. And he had mystery schools in Crotona, and this is some place that, you know, there were, it was all oral tradition. So what we have today really is from the oral tradition, and how old this has been, who knows. But nevertheless, that there is an order to the entire universe, an order to our lives, an order to everything here, and everything is mathematically in order. So when you begin to see that and use that, you can really assist yourself and your own blueprint, which you came in with, and in helping other people, or even a country, you can see its blueprint of what it's to do and what it's not doing.
Now, tell me, we're just let's back up a little bit. Where does one go to study sacred geometry?
Well, you can. There's many books on numerology, but if you really want to go into sacred geometry, you want to go into the study of Hermetic laws and the occult and Hermetic laws. And once you go into Hermetic laws, you will understand the shapes, the triangle, the squares, all the geometric shapes, and the connectedness and how and what they represent. Most people will not want to do this.
you think?
I know. I was at a workshop, and I recommended one of these books, and you know, you can see the people's faces sort of like disappear. So you have to really make it a bit easier and put it in layman's terms, and basically we can do that through using numerology.
Okay.
But the Greeks were very familiar with this. Anytime you want to study mathematics, you will see the order, the particularly in geometry. But when you go into sacred geometry, you will see the connectedness of the stars, universe, and ourselves.
Now, as a child, were you a math whiz? Were you attracted?
No. In fact, I never was a math whiz. I guess I was smart, but I never aspired to be a math whiz, and I never aspired to be a commodities broker. These things sort of just happened. And then studying numbers is very different than studying math.
Okay.
And once you start studying numbers, you understand the components of a number or a sound, because everything here is sound. And then you will be governed accordingly as to how these combine. So letters are extremely important. Numbers are extremely important. They represent sound energy. So when a person is called a certain name, it means a great deal. And when you have a blueprint of your name, you will have it. Name at birth is the name you need.
Okay.
That's the key. That has the actual sounds and numbers in that name. So that's
now,
your blueprint for your life.
Okay. Now, your birth blueprint, is that your entire name that you're born with?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can change it once you get here, but you can never lose the original blueprint. It's always working, whether you're sleeping, awake, it's always working. And the blueprint, all those letters are represented by numerics, and they're always moving so that they're what we call transiting. So you have a busy name going on, and then you have a date of birth, which gives you timing of everything.
Okay, so if you can figure that out, you'll have a lot of your questions about life answered. Now, for instance, I was born one name, and probably within 2 years after my birth, my parents changed their last name. I would still be with the first name, right?
You would still be with the first name.
Mm-hmm.
If you use the parents' last name, you know, like in school and all that, you would. What I would suggest always is studying the one that you used. You may have never used the original name, did you?
No, never did.
But
you
have to still figure it in so that you have an overlay. You have this life plan working on top of this life plan. It's not unusual because many people are adopted.
Yes.
We never use married names. Basically, they're irrelevant. They're okay to use, but, you know, they make somebody either look good or bad. But really what you want is the actual registered name at birth.
Okay.
And if you add a layer over that, then you'll have to work with both.
So
there's
okay, now,
duality.
How does someone who wants to figure this out, which one of your books should they buy in order to get...
They should buy Divine Design, How You Created the Life You're Living. I made that so simple because that's why it's so great, because people want simple, and they don't have time to read a whole lot, and they want somebody else to figure it out, order one of this and two of that. But anyway, that will explain somewhat of the reincarnation process, as well as the name you carry. And it's enough to really help you get down the block, as well as avoid making a lot of mistakes.
Right.
But that's what we want to do. I mean, we have a blueprint. Why don't we follow it? I mean, we have blueprints for buildings. Why don't we follow our own?
Absolutely. Well, I will be ordering the book tomorrow. I'm already plugging it, and we haven't actually gotten to the segment of the show where we plug the book. But I'm very curious to go through this process and figure it out for myself. Now, let's back up a little bit. Where does one go to study numerology? How did you learn all this?
Self-taught and wonderful teachers. There's no place, there's no degree, there's no license, there's no what have you. I could start one, right? People have asked me, please. But there really is no place you go. It's self-study, and it's so much of it is old. What you have today are a lot of what I call pop psych, you know, your name, your life, and all these kind of hokey kind of titles.
Yeah.
But it's pop stuff. There's a lot of stuff left out. Once you start studying this, you'll study more, you'll study more. You'll find out how much you don't know when you go deeper and deeper and deeper.
Okay.
But it's one of the ancient sciences that was studied a great deal at one time. But mankind humankind has moved on, and most of your ancient sciences are thought of as goofy or irrelevant, you know, and it's unfortunate because they really underpin everything.
Wow. This is such fascinating information, and I'm so pleased to be able to share it with my listeners again. We're going to take a break and hear about your host. When we come back with Gail, we're going to talk about upcoming 10-year trends, bridging two worlds, business and spiritual. There's so much she has to share with us, and I'm just so pleased to be able to share Gail with you. We'll be right back. Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable, someone who has touched your heart and soul, people who have faced difficult problems, people who fearlessly shared their stories, people who have priceless personalities? I've been fortunate to host a talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories, and it's been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. In my new ebook, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, and even polygamy. Then there are my guests dealing with physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects. All of my guests have been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. I look forward to sharing them with you in my new ebook, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones. The introductory offer of $4.99 is now available at Amazon.com. Order it today. Welcome back with my wonderful guest, Gail Minogue. Gail, let's talk a little bit about trends. You talk about this 10-year trends. Share with us how that works.
Well, we have, as you know, about 2007, the wall of Jericho started to fall down. And by 2008, we had what we call, we were starting the deep recession.
Right.
And we actually began Thanksgiving of 2008,
uh-huh.
a cycle that would last till 2024, 16 years.
Okay.
And that's what we're in. We're now in 2013, and that will go on till 2024. So we have a good 10 years, a little bit more, to go to really clean house. So everything began to contract.
Mm-hmm.
As you notice, you know, it's very difficult for people to get a loan for a home, particularly if you're self-employed.
Right.
Jobs went away, a lot of jobs. There's just a general contraction of everything. People
mm-hmm.
are told that they have to lose weight. They have to stop eating a certain way. Even their health insurance rewards or punishments for not doing that by companies.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in a contraction mode. Houses basically are smaller, or people are doubling up and living with each other or families, and incomes have contracted, except for perhaps the 1%, which basically has what we'll call passive income. But it's a contractual mode, and all at the same time, authority clamps down. So you have what I call the corporate and the government in bed. And this goes on, again, till this period ends. So it's a somewhat of a stifling period, but it was intended to contract after years of expansion.
Uh-huh.
So even everything, you know, there are buyouts and everything else going on. So it's a period of time where people have to really be much more accountable and
mm-hmm.
to rely more on themselves. To look at, I mean, everyone is seeming to become an entrepreneur out of necessity. Everything is becoming what I call it mountain period in the I Ching, which is show me. It's like, I'm from Missouri, so show me. So I'm not going to believe it, just show me.
Uh-huh.
And so exposure of everything is going on. We have Snowden, Manning, WikiLeaks. We have exposure
mm-hmm.
of corruption. We have exposure all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So this is intended for us to clean house and to look at ourselves in the world. Everything is going through the same type of contraction. Things will begin to change again in 2024. So this is what in such a situation, then we need to, you know, focus and prepare ourselves on what I call very smart way
mm-hmm.
of conducting one's life, managing oneself better. You know,
okay.
whether you're eating, drinking, or spending money, or what have you.
Well, let's talk about some tips you have for people spiritually. What would you suggest people do to help themselves get through this trend?
Well, the main thing they have to do is to watch their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can look very scary on the outside. People look at everybody, and they don't know. It's what we call the great uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically is going to really come down to your own thinking, and to stop depending upon what I call the world of appearance. It looks so bad out there sometimes. You know, people shooting and
mm-hmm.
wars going on, and all these kinds of things. You're seeing a lot of things in the world of appearance that really don't affect you if you can keep your thinking and your head on straight. So it's important that you keep your own counsel, that you not share all your ideas with everybody else,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
you manage your mind, and that your behavior supports what you think. So it's really really a very important time to learn how to think. Not necessarily what to think, but learn how to think.
Like how, to.
And to surround yourself with people who are, you know, going places or are really putting their lives together. They're, you know, this has happened, but this has happened, and we move on. Because everything here on Earth is always under progress. It's never completed here. Everything is never, never, never completed. So we're constantly a work in progress.
We are, yeah, I definitely can buy into that.
Yeah,
you know,
so
my own personal life.
People should very be aware of that retirement is a man-made time. Frank, it has nothing to do with a blueprint. A blueprint is usually 120 years plus.
Oh, really?
Most people check out by the time they're in their 80s because they have no idea that they were ever that long to live. Most people plan on retirement starting really in their 50s, and they want to make sure they have enough. The soul never comes here to retire, and it takes quite a while. It takes 30 years to get out of childhood alone. It takes another 20 years to 50 till you start to really free yourself and be integrated enough to be able to be effective here. So your 50s are very pivotal years into your 60s of success, 70s. 80s, but most people are either dead or sick or retired and worried about whether they're going to have enough money or they're going to outlive their money or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So they set themselves up for a fall.
Okay.
So you want to understand that 60 is about the beginning of middle age.
Okay. I love hearing that.
It's true. If you look at these numbers, you see you would never think the same way again. And we just don't have models at 120 to you know, look at. They're all, you know, there's a few, but, you know, we don't see them.
Now, how would you go about getting to 120 if you accepted these principles and lived your life by these trends? Would you live longer?
You would live longer because you would always focus on the date and age you want to leave rather than any retirement. So
okay,
if I
want
to live to be 110, say, then that's my age. So now, say maybe I'm 70 years old, say, and I think, well, if I'm going to be here for another 40 years, what do I need to do to plan for productivity, working, creating income? What do I need to do to support the body or the frame that will carry me through these 40 years? And so we need to begin this very, very early. We need to be aware of this. I had a gentleman attend a lecture I gave at a store up in Northern California out in San Francisco, and he was like, he was 65, I remember. He said, I wish he had learned this in kindergarten.
Okay.
He set his whole life so differently. And most our society is not set for this type of time frame. Our society is set for an era that was raised in the era of depression. For retirement, which is a man-made time frame. Fortunately, due to circumstances that are not accidental, that we are doing away with retirement. We're fighting over retirement. We're scared about retirement, but retirement should be going away.
I see this. I turned 70 last week, and of course, I am in the most productive, vital time of my existence, which is a delightful experience for me. And I can see that I could be productive for another 30, 40 years easily. And I think it's just a mindset, isn't it?
It's a mindset, but it's also what you do. If you really believe that, then how would you behave? That's why people who speak to me of they really want wealth or prosperity, and they say that, but their behavior is so not that. They never tip enough. They they drive a dumpy car. they walk around like they have two nickels. But they're always they're always want prosperity. So you, if you're 70 and you want to stay here for another 40 years and work and be productive and learn and grow here, then what do you need to do now to set that up? How do you, would you set up your money? What is your business plan for the next 5 to 10 years? And do you have an action plan for your 5 to 10 year business plan? What are you doing? I mean, it's really this. Your behavior must support what you say.
This
so
is
it's
very
not enough to just affirm it. A lot of people affirm and affirm and affirm.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Breath.
Yeah, that's what I always, my mantra is, you know, if you think it, you can do it. And you guess what? You better do it. I love what you wrote about you can't trust people over 30. Talk about that a little bit, Gail.
Well, it takes 30 years to get out of childhood. We
okay.
come in with a blueprint that downloads every seventh birthday beginning at age 7.
Uh-huh.
So once you start this cycle here, you need to go through 4 of these cycles to finish childhood, which is 28.
Okay.
It is 2 years transition out of that period to get out of childhood. The first 7 years, you're just getting here. You're getting used to the parents, the family, or whatever you landed into. And
yeah.
The body has arrived. And then the second 7 years, from 7 to 14, you start to make up your mind. You pull away from that group and develop the outer world. And then from 14 to 21, you begin to really work on the emotional level. That's why we have such nutty stuff going on in those teenage years through up to 21. And then from 21 to 28, we integrate the body, mind, and emotions so that you're integrated enough to come on out. And then a passage out takes approximately 2 years. So by the time you're 30, you've kind of given up this, you're not as naive.
No.
You can't, you're more worldly wise. Not that
hopefully.
Innocent, hopefully.
Yeah.
Not the innocent that you were at 14, 15, or 20, or even 25. So
yeah.
Now you really start your adult life. So this is when people say, well, you're not that innocent and naive. You now can be much more dangerous after 30. You've learned enough.
Enough to be dangerous. I love
enough
that.
Enough to be dangerous. And then you think that, oh, everything now is my success, but the next 20 years are just building the platform, or what we call the foundation, so that by the time you're 50, you've done 7 of these soul cycles at 49, and you're integrated enough to start to free yourself of what you said originally when you came in of what you would do. So that really starts out in the 50s. So people make a lot of what we call midlife changes, marriages, moves, change of jobs, many, many changes, and so that they're beginning to free themselves when they're 50. But unfortunately, society says, well, you're out of the game in your
60s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this
and
is all interesting.
Look it. I mean, they look, you know, they don't look healthy because they have neglected the body. Remember, it's a three-legged stool. It's to live right, eat right, and think right. And live right, move right, and think right. Move right, eat right, and think right.
Well, this is very good because this explains why it took me till I was 50 to write my first book. And
right. You weren't integrated enough.
I guess I finally got there. We're going to take a break and hear from one of my sponsors. And when we come back with Gail Minogue, LaVogue. We're going to talk about trends in financial, political, and religious, things that are going on around us all the time with Gail Minogue.
Could your commute or daily exercise routine use a boost? When was the last time you really got the giggles? This is Adele Park, author of Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook, inviting you to tune in, turn on, and let loose a few good laughs. Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook is about a marijuana enthusiast named Blue McKenna who gets involved in a reality TV show as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. A conglomerate of kooky contestants invades the polygamous community of Naval, Utah to compete in a reality show called Yikes. Things get sticky when Blue McKenna's hemp garden is ignited during an ill-fated seance. Find out what's going down in the desert in Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook. Visit www.yikesaudiobook.com to learn more. That's www.yikesaudiobook.com.
To Yikes, and I've listened to Jitters, and both of Adele Park's books are fantastic. Put them in your car, and if you're taking a long trip, the time will fly. She'll make you laugh so much. We're back with Gail Minogue, and Gail, let's talk about your website and where people can find Divine Design.
Okay. My website is Gail Minogue, G-A-I-L, M as in Mary, I-N-O-G-U-E, M-I-N-O-G-U-E, G-A-I-L, M-I-N-O-G-U-E, GailMinogue.com. And there's some items on there. And if someone wants a personal private consultation with me, they can also order it there as well. I do those quite a bit.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Do you feel, also your books are available at Amazon, right?
Yes, there is a new edition of this book, and it's only available on my site. The Amazon edition is a second edition. That's just about sold out. I think there's like five copies. And then for the new third expanded edition, though, it's on the website.
Okay, so I want to get that, so I'll go to your website.
Yeah.
What did you add in the third edition that wasn't in the first and second?
I added interesting things, odd things about numbers and how they influence you and what you need to do to pretty much help yourself with them, you know, just kind of practical things, how to use them. One chapter is the helpful hidden powers of numbers. And these are some exercises you can do, manifest things. They contain energy so that you can use them to your advantage or disadvantage. And then there's another chapter here on just working with numbers that are not, you know, it's like if your spouse, what if you and your spouse have the same number? Questions like that. And what can you expect on some of these cycles, you know? So it is a, you know, and is there such a thing as our soul mate or versus a soul family?
Right.
And what is that? So there, you know, it's about master numbers and why people who have them need to be with other people who have them versus those who don't.
Now,
you know, so you're not dumbing yourself down.
Okay.
You know
I love
what I
that.
Mean?
I've never heard that term soul family. That just resonates with me.
Well, we can reincarnate with soul families, and people are always looking, quote, for soulmates. I don't know if they're doing that so much anymore, but they used to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a rare occurrence for that to happen. But soul families come back, and so when you run into one, you really recognize the person very comfortably. And it's not surprising that even your family of origin or the person you're married to or your intimate relationships are all part of the same soul family, and that you're all back here. It may be in different roles, but you're all back here. And that's very comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And there's also, you know, unfinished business.
Well, quite frankly, this interview is music to my ears because it's how I live and what I believe. And I haven't even gotten the book yet, so I will get the book. And this book will help us determine what our exact number is, won't it?
Oh, definitely. It'll tell you about your life path learning lesson. It'll tell you about your karmic situation.
Uh-huh.
It'll tell you about your destiny. It'll tell you about your talents. And it will tell you about what motivates you. And it's very important. What are your time frames? Many people start a business in the wrong year. I have a client in New York who has started, just moved offices to a new location, is just thrilled, but she's in a 9-year, and that's an ending. So it's not really the best year to go open your new offices and all that. It's just not the time. So I try to, you know, suggest some things, but people will do what they need to do or they're going to do, and then they'll make the corrections later. But it's always better if you can work with your own timing on things. You have your own timing. Why would you go against it?
Oh, this is good information. Very powerful stuff. What about political trends coming up in the next 10
years?
Well,
right now we're extremely polarized.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
this is a period that is very similar to a period of about 240 years ago, which was the period just before the American Revolution. It's repeating itself. So if you go back to then, you can see the growth of wrongs that added up to bring on eventually the revolution.
So we're going back to about 1760, and you look at the events, including the Stamp Act, but there were many acts that went against the colonists, and you had a very divided population. You had the loyalists to King George, and you had the those who were the militia. And it's very similar to what we have today. We have over here the ultra-conservative, and you have the extreme right, which is the Tea Party, and then you have over here the, quote, liberals. So until this period passes, you're still going to have quite a bit of what I call righteous people. Each side is righteous. And each side has some good ideas, but the it's dysfunctional right now. And part of this is also to show you some things about what you should have been looking at for years about how the government was being run.
Right.
And
okay.
we didn't. How all these, so everything has to be shown to you of how dysfunctional it had to come until the citizens would start to behave really like they did at the time of the American Revolution.
Okay.
And so it's a great big protest. And this is one reason why you have this Snowden and you have Manning, all these people revealing things that we had not in a million years known about, although we did. It was all available. And we are in this sort of polarized mode for several more years. But remember, a couple of things are going on. First of all, the big, huge trend of religion, and religion, as we know, a traditional religion, is fading away.
Yes.
This is part of the old Piscean Age, which lasts 2,400 years. So that age brought in religion, guilt, suffering, and emotions. So all of these religions were formed during that period, including Islam. So this is a period now, as we enter this new Aquarian age, and we're only in the very beginning of it, where these things begin to break apart and fall away. And there was an article even in, I think it was the Wall Street this weekend, citing that the Southern Baptist evangelicals have admitted that they are now a minority and that they don't have the popular vote. So they're calling themselves the prophetic minority. Meaning, I'm not sure what that really means. They're prophetic minority. But anyway, these things are all going on. So as this starts to change, really the election to pay attention to is about 2020. Yes. Yeah, because these things must be sorted out. We're also going away from war. This started in 2006, and we have an 86-year cycle away from war. Americans don't want it. They're very tired of it.
They're
weary of it.
Uh-huh.
And so we're seeing a trend of leading from behind.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Gradual change. We don't recognize things while we're in them until we can look back. And that's what, you know, I think it was Emerson who wrote, "The years teach much that the days never knew." And you live through it, you can't believe that, you know, well, what is that? And then you look back 30, 50 years, and you see what that was.
Yeah,
but things will really begin to reverse themselves once you get in the 20s, and then you will have some changes to the Constitution. It's the late 20s.
Okay, that's very exciting to hear. I probably won't be – well, I probably will be here now that I've decided to go to
100%. You decided to be here another 40 years, okay?
Yeah,
so then
I will be here.
You need to watch what you say as well as what you eat and how you move and think.
Will do. You know, what we're going to do first, Gail, is we're going to take a break and hear from one of my sponsors, and then we're going to come back for our fourth segment. I want to talk about, ask you about political trends, if we see a woman president coming, health trends. Then I also want you to share with us what success means to you today as we're speaking, if you have any regrets, and what advice you have for my listeners. We'll be right back with Gail Manalgo.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage, any marriage, Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, "Our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage." Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Welcome back with Gail Minogue. And as far as second marriages, I'm in my second marriage, and I'll be celebrating my 43rd anniversary this year. I highly recommend it. Gail, let's talk a little bit about health trends. Oh, first, what do you think about a woman president? How does that play out?
Well, I think that I know that Hillary Clinton is, they're all kind of approaching this to Hillary Clinton, but I doubt very much that she will
be the one
win.
Mm-hmm.
We will have one, but right now there's really, I doubt it will be in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
The person to look for, who is really what I call the agent of change for the United States,
mm-hmm.
will have a 5 life path. And that means their date of birth will total a number and then reduce to the number 5.
Okay,
most of all these candidates that are considering it, including Hillary, Biden, Christie, what have
uh-huh.
you, none of them has a 5.
Uh-huh.
And I would also look for a woman coming from a field that is not, what we'll say, already political. This could be coming from the military.
Mm-hmm.
Like a general, a female general.
Mm-hmm.
It could be coming from a woman business person, but the field that is unique and different than what you would normally think.
Okay.
Whereas it would be normally a politician, you would take a look at something that is non-political. And that is where we're not looking. We're not looking, we don't even know a military general. A female.
Right.
Most of us never even heard of that. We're all
mm-hmm.
looking at the same old boring players.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you want to look at unique conditions for female, and they very possibly coming from the business world or the military.
Now, what was President Obama's number?
11.
11.
So was Clinton, so was Reagan, so was Biden, so was what's his name, John McCain, so is Michelle. They all have 11. They're all 11s.
Wow.
They all have 11 life paths. We've had this string of 11 people, which are very inspirational people, very good speakers.
Uh-huh.
They have great channeling up there when they get up and give a talk. But as far as really being what I call the leaders like an Abraham Lincoln, that's great.
Uh-huh.
Or perhaps a Franklin Roosevelt who can lead at such troubled times. No.
Now, what was Lincoln's number, and
he
what was Roosevelt? He was a
both
5.
Were
okay.
Five.
Oh, those were 5. So we
both
need another 5.
Both Aquarians as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find that the founders of the country were prominently either Sun in Aquarius or rising Aquarius. For instance, Thomas Paine, Aquarius. You will find this throughout the founders, because this is an Aquarian nation. This was to usher in the age of Aquarius, this nation, which is the beginning of the rights of the individual. So you're seeing America as the place where the individual is developed. And so America has all these problems because on one hand you have what's right for the individual versus what's right for the collective, and they're always at it.
Yeah.
But that we get through our elections because we respect that individual. And that person has a right to speak out. And the person has a right to say you're a jerk or, you know, worse.
Yeah. And they do.
And they do. And people can't understand how we put up with this stuff. But that was what, this is the development
of the individual. This is a very new concept for the citizenry. It's to understand how to develop an individual. So one of the problems with developing an individual is the loneliness of that.
Sure.
So there's a lot of loneliness in America. And we use a very large amount of antidepressants in America.
Mm-hmm.
As the individual is developed, he has to leave the tribe and form new tribes. You know, friends, you know, are now his family.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all different kinds of families, adopted families, foster families, gay parents,
right.
single
yes.
parents. We have foster parents. We have all kinds of families.
Well, you know, I don't know about my listeners, but I cannot wait to order this book, figure out what my number is, and maybe I'll be a 5 and maybe I'll run for the White House. And I've got 40 years to do it.
Yeah, or support someone who is. Get involved.
Yes, absolutely. It sounds like a very exciting plan. Gail, what does success mean to you today as we're speaking?
Well, I think success means to me that there's certainly an amount of peace of mind,
mm-hmm.
Inner peace of mind. Success is to me a deep connection that no matter what it looks like, it always works out well.
Uh-huh.
And I think that being able to do what I like to do, want to do, and can grow, this is very successful. And to me, I'm an Aquarian, so
mm-hmm.
there are many opportunities that I see for myself. So for me, the success is not just measured in money, although money is nice because it gives you choices.
Sure, sure.
It can provide you with choice. But it isn't much good if you don't have what I call peace of mind. And so success is developing that. Develop a peace of mind, not be a zombie or go around oming and going off on a mountaintop, but really being able to live in the world of the 405 freeway and stuck in traffic and, you know, not explode.
Now, briefly, we just have a minute here. Do you have any regrets, Gail?
Regrets are probably that I didn't get more involved in the political process.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And that it probably, I have worked in government before,
mm-hmm.
but that is something that I also can do. So it's not too late.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think I really don't have a lot of regrets. I mean, I've had many losses. If I have regrets, I don't call them regrets. I just, I really don't.
No.
I think probably I regret is that I didn't use my time more wisely. And I think that's probably a bigger regret because time, once it's gone, you cannot get
it's
it
gone.
Back.
Yeah, you can't
so
go
I think
backwards.
Using your time is wisely is one of the nicest things you can do for yourself, and to realize that you'll never get it back. So that
absolutely.
Is probably and I'm getting better at it. So.
Well, Gail, you are a priceless personality, and I've been thrilled to have you back on the show. I love sharing you with my listeners, and I hope you will come back again soon.
Oh, thank you. It's such a great interview. Thank you so much.
It's been fun. I've really enjoyed this, and I will be getting your book, and I hope all my listeners will get your book, too. And to my listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. My upcoming guests for the rest of the week will amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, struggles, and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests like Gail today and every day. Now, remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, please stop whining, start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Gail Minogue. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Well, that was funny. I just opened the washing machine to put in